Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Third and Phillip Park coming up. Fourth down in Naperville here.
Adam Amin.
There's a deep drive to left field in London from Castellanos.
Chicago Bulls TV play-by-play man.
Adam Amin, Stacey King, glad to be here.
2 seconds left. Giddy for the win. Go!
Oh, my God! I cannot believe this. Elizabeth, I'm coming, baby.
The NFL on Fox.
Inside the broadcast booth, Adam Amin looking downfield, nothing there. Spins away, throws on the move. It is caught! Roma Dunze connects with his fellow rookie. That is in the bucket, off platform, away from the arm side. That's the type of stuff at USC that was dropping jaws of scouts across the country.
Fox Sports Baseball play-by-play man.
Whoa. We're taking it to another level now.
I hit the X button. No why.
Felt like I was in a psychedelic club for a moment.
Felt like you were back DJing.
Adam Amin with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's always nice when we get the opportunity to talk with our friend Adam Amin. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Adam, thanks for joining us. A couple things here. What has been, how many text messages, tweets, or people on Instagram hitting you up have you had that connect with the new Pope being a White Sox fan?
Well, as soon as people found out I was coming to New York to do the Cubs game, and they were like, you know, he's not a Cub fan. Like, that was the first White Sox, like my buddy that was a White Sox fan when we were talking the other day, that was the first thing he said. So I do feel like it's a topic of conversation right now. I don't know how deep we're going to get into the papacy on Saturday on Fox, but it's good to know that the people care, and it's good to know that we're on the map in Chicago for another thing.
We're on day two of all Pope jokes all the time, Adam.
And internet's like, on fire. Oh, the internet's on fire.
It really is. There's so much good stuff out there. It's remarkable. Your partner, AJ Przinski, tweeted that that the Pope chose Leo the 14th because of Paul Konerko, good old number 14. And now Cubs fans were already saying it was because of Ernie Banks, but AJ might not be wrong. You realize this is the world we live in at this point.
Naturally, you're looking for any indication, any support for your side of the argument. So listen, you got to listen to the brother, right? The brother says he's a Sox fan.
Yeah.
So we got to lean towards him being, you know, we got to take his word for it. You'd like to think, I'm sure they did character interviews. Did they do character interviews for the Pope? I don't know what type of extensive network of people we're talking to get somebody in the papacy. But like, are they talking to the brother? Are they talking to like the nephew that lives in the suburbs to make sure he's telling the truth about all of his exploits?
I mean, the truth is, the Pope may have a legit interest in your ball game tomorrow. You know, no other Pope has ever cared about any game that you've ever done.
He might be a big AJ guy.
He might be like, oh, there's AJ.
Like, oh, it's my guy. I remember 2005 championship.
Yes.
Yeah, punch the guy. Like,
he was
I feel
there.
Like that might, he was there for that.
Yes.
He's one of us. He's my guy. He's one of us. I think, you know, between that and he's a Bulls fan. I like to think he's a Bulls fan.
Sure you do.
So maybe will we be on at the Vatican at some point during next season? Does the Vatican get Chicago Sports Network? Do you need to sign a deal with a different company specific to Vatican City, or does just Vatican City gets access to everything automatically?
That's a good question.
I like the idea of you calling a Bears game that he's going to see.
Because he's going to get more emotional about it. And now I wonder, does he think, you know, I've got a direct line. Maybe I can get some help for a starving group of people.
Yeah,
Bears fans, essentially.
I think CHSN ought to comp the Vatican the app. You know what I mean? Just like, send him an iPad with the app preloaded, Adam.
$30 a month, not for you. Not for you.
Not for you.
Your holiness. Yeah.
Before we get into Cubs Mets, which you are going to be calling for Fox, are you doing a gig at all this weekend?
Not this weekend. No, we've got something lined up for June. We'll have we're trying to get something going at the end of the month because I'll have a couple of weeks off from baseball. So maybe there'll be hopefully a gig at the end of the month at some point. If there is, you guys will be first to know. I don't know if I don't have an email blast or anything, but I can text. I can let my friends know.
All right, I'm willing to pay. You don't have to put me on VIP or anything. I want to support the
You're
cause.
Not asking for the Vatican discount.
No, I'm not asking for the free link. No. I just like to see you spin, man, because people move when you spin, and I'm glad that more people are starting to talk about your secondary and tertiary jobs that you have where you're out there on the deck doing your thing.
Yeah, not gonna lie, I'll take that Vatican free app. You know?
Yeah. Well, anything to get speaks outside. You know, maybe you sing the anthem before the set.
Oh,
who knows?
Oh,
you know, I'm just throwing that out there for you.
Hey, man, whatever you want. Whatever you want. All right. So you got this ball game. These are two of, are they two of the best three teams in baseball? Two of the best five teams in baseball? I know the Cubs have some starting pitcher injuries, but the offense is legit. This is a good measuring stick series here for both of them, maybe.
I think so, and especially since the Cubs' schedule gets, you know, significantly softer going forward after this. You know, you're gonna see some more of the mid-level teams in each of these divisions. You're going to see some of the bottom feeders in some of these divisions. So an opportunity, you would think, to build on, you know, what's been a very strong record in the early part of the season. Obviously, it's been a little more leveled off, facing some good competition as of late these last 2 weeks. But this is a really good test. The Mets were, you know, maybe a surprise last year. They just got out of the wild card. They've looked very good in the division series that AJ and myself and Wainwright got to see in person. And I thought, you know, there were some really good moments in the LCS against the Dodgers, and they've carried that over. The addition of Soto, who's now starting to find his rhythm, 2-home run game the other day. You know, this is an offense that I think is fairly legit. You know, it's not as good as the Cubs are right now. The Cubs offense is still looking very sharp with the bottom of their order. Even without PCA in there, they moved him up into the middle of the order. The bottom of the order is still getting on base. Swanson being moved down and being able to provide some pop again and have a little bit more consistency getting on base. The Cubs do the things that are necessary to be a sustained offense for the majority of this season. They have some power, but more importantly, they get on base. And with the way that they're running right now and the way that they've run for the first 6 weeks of this season, you feel very confident that this is sustainable. Can they do it against, you know, a pitching staff that's been as good as any pitching staff in baseball in the Mets? Their starting rotation's been really good. Their bullpen has been rock solid for the most part. You know, I think their offense will get better when they start hitting with runners in scoring position. New York's will. So, yeah, I agree. I think this is a great measuring stick. It's not the end-all be-all, because especially coming to the end of, you know, essentially a 30-plus game stretch where you've faced really, really good competition. You know, I'm not saying that hasn't, you know, provided some wear and tear on this group, in particular on the pitching staff. But I do think it's a decent barometer, especially considering the schedule is going to get a little easier going forward.
So you're our friend that traffics in the national broadcast. And I'm curious on when you guys are putting together a broadcast like this, there are a couple baseball players who I think break through. I think one of them is on the Mets. I think Juan Soto is a guy that people who aren't necessarily big Mets fans or baseball fans might have heard of. Paul Skeens, I think, is breaking through. How close are we to PCA becoming one of those guys?
A long way in terms of track record, but in terms of focal point, I think because of how steady Kyle Tucker has been, you know, Kyle Tucker continues to just kind of fly under the radar. This is what he did in Houston on a star-laden team and on a team that had a veteran core that made a lot of deep playoff runs. He was just as steady as they came, and he's been very much that so far for the Cubs this year. PCA is the type of player that has a lot going for him in terms of star power. The things that attract, you know, when we did the Cubs-Phillies game a couple of weeks ago, Craig Counsell said it in a great way. He said, your eyes are naturally drawn to him because of how he plays the game. He's got a top 10 arm into, you know, if you look at the arm strength metrics with his top throws this season, he's got one of the top 10 arms in baseball. You look at outs above average, plays that certain defenders make that the average defender does not make. He's made eight of those types of plays this year. That's tied for the most among any position in baseball. You look at his sprint speed. He's one of the fastest players in the game right now. And he's starting to provide the power that you hope will be consistent throughout his career, playing in center field, maybe a guy that can give you 20 home runs a season. Those things are all eye-popping things, right? The power, the speed, the you know, as you guys all know, the five-tool adage that gets applied to players like PCA, because he's living up to some of that scouting billing right now, I think he's going to be that type of name for many national broadcasts. He's a very easy guy to highlight because of all the things that he does. So if he doesn't have a great day offensively, he's probably going to give you a great play on defense, whether it's a great throw, whether it's flagging down a ball that other center fielders aren't getting to, or if he's provided some of that pop that we've seen, that there is a charge in that bat. That's an easy entry point into talking about a young player. And obviously because of the Mets connection, him being a Mets draft pick and being part of that Javi Baez, Trevor Williams trade, you know, a handful of years ago now, that's an easy entry point into discussing him. So track record, he's not there, but talent wise and like star ability, it's there.
Yeah, the juice is definitely there with PCA.
Yeah. Yeah, man, like the way the council's talked about him, I love what you just shared, Adam. And he said to us, what, a week and a half ago, that the Cubs, quote, have one of those guys, unquote. And like those five-tool electric, you just elucidated the skill set. Anytime he's near the ball, defensively, offensively, or anytime he's on the bases, it's like Ellie De La Cruz or O'Neal Cruz or Fernando Tatis. It's like one of those, or Julio Rodriguez. Like, and he doesn't have to,
or prime Tim Anderson. I mean, with juice, I mean, not with.
But I mean, like right now in the game, I guess I'm saying right now in the game, he's one of those guys with all those tools where you're like, oh my God, he hits it this hard and he throws it that hard and he does this. And now, because with the pop now added in, it's like, you can't take your freaking eyes off that guy, man.
100%.
Yeah, there's always a play ready to be made for a player like that. And again, obviously, most of the season he was in the bottom third of the order. The Cubs' bottom third of the order has been number one in OPS for just about the entire season. So to have him impact the lineup the way he did, essentially forcing Craig to say, all right, well, we probably got to move this kid up. He's going to get more RBI chances. Those are good entry points into talking about a player that is starting to burgeon. Now, listen, he chases. I know the chase rate is over 40%. He's got to improve on that, especially with the breaking stuff. There's going to be adjustment periods, both pitching to him and him hitting against really good major league pitching. But I think he's been able to do that at every level. So that's going to be another fun storyline to track PCA going forward, not just the jaw-dropping plays, but now you're getting into real nuanced stuff over the course of a week-to-week basis with him.
Adam Amin and AJ Pruszynski on the call tomorrow night when the Cubs should be trotting out Cade Horton, their number one pitching prospect. You're fully expecting that, I would assume, and you're looking forward to it? AJ should be great talking about him.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it, assuming that that's going to be the case and all signs are pointing to that, you know, because of the flex in usage during the week against the Giants. You would think that Horton's the easy choice to throw on Saturday. Listen, the breaking stuff seems to be plus You know, that slider, the curveball's got really good depth to it. It's a sparingly used changeup, I think, but the changeup has had some good swing and miss to it. And the Cubs need some swing and miss, too. You know, like they've had a tendency at times, and I know Wrigley's been so weird in the first month of the season, as it always is, but they've had a tendency to give up some home runs. They've had a tendency to give up some extra base hits. I think so far, as long as they can keep those things relatively low and maybe get some more swing and miss, they're below average in strikeout rate, a little above average in walk rate. So if you can improve some of those numbers with a player like Horton, you know, you don't want to put too much pressure on him. Obviously, the bullpen has major questions and needs to improve. The blown saves, the inherited runner score numbers are too high. The disastrous Presley outing earlier this week. But I think there's a lot of hope with what Horton brings to the table and some desperately needed swing and miss. So let's see if he can do that against, again, you want to talk about a good barometer. How about this? You know, you're going to go in against a really good top three in an order, right? You're going to go Lindor, Soto, and Pete Alonso pretty much out of the gate when you take the ball at the bottom of the first, assuming Cade Horton gets his first start tomorrow.
How do you compartmentalize this part of the season with two teams that have great records right now and high expectations? I don't want to say like this is a huge series, even though it kind of feels like it, as a barometer check on what the Cubs might be and possibly do in the National League.
You know, they always say it's a little gauche to look at the standings before you get to about Memorial Day, right? So you still got a few weeks left before you're at the end of May, where you really start to take a look at the standings. But if you're looking at that portion of time, so let's say about 50 games or so, 50 plus games, if you're looking at that period of time, you're going to look back at the early season series against the Dodgers and a decent amount of success against one of the best teams in baseball. How did you fare against San Diego? You know, the defensive miscues that probably cost you a game in that series and maybe things turned around there. How did you do against the Mets? How did you do against playoff teams, right? The Cubs lost a series against Philadelphia a couple of weeks back. Like, that's a series I'm sure they're going to look back and say, well, probably could have taken 2 out of 3 in that set if they had just taken advantage of some opportunities in the rubber game of that series. So I think that's how you view these series in the first third of the year, you know, without being like every series is a must win. You can't put that type of pressure on it. But if you're competing for the division and they're up 3 games on Milwaukee and St. Louis right now, 3.5 on Cincinnati, if you get to the end of the year and you're in the thick of a like real pennant race and it's tight, series like this are going to give you confidence if you won them, or they're going to make you shake your head if you lost them, because you're always going to think, well, what if we had just won one more of those series? We'd have an extra game of cushion now in the last week of September. So I think when you're in the thick of it, when you're in the middle of the trees in the forest, you're trying to look at little portions and little segments of the year. I think when you get to the end of the season, that's when you'll really look at the totality of how you did against the elite level teams. And again, for the Cubs, they faced a lot of elite level teams in the first 40 games of the schedule.
Adam Amin, we could go anywhere with Adam Amin in any direction. We could go music, we could go Pope, we could go baseball, we could go football. But I'm going to ask you this, first instinct, okay? No pressure,
right?
No money on the line. Who's going to win the NBA title?
Oklahoma City.
Yeah, right.
I think they're
too
the
good.
First instinct.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the same questions about them that I've had about the Thunder all season long. Like, NBA teams typically, when they have that first go around, need to get their butt kicked as a group, right? The Celtics did it a couple of years ago. They suffered the heartbreak against the Warriors. They come back and are able to win a title. Minnesota gets, you know, beat by Dallas when they get to a conference final. How are they going to bounce back this season? Are they primed to make a run, even though they were a 6 seed? Oklahoma City, I keep thinking to myself, well, they need to be battle-tested. They need to be battle-tested. But they can turn it on defensively better than any team I think I've seen in the postseason so far. Like, Cleveland has been able to do that offensively most of the year. I give the Pacers a ton of credit for stopping them. I think what we saw in Game 2 for the Thunder against Denver relative to Game 1, I've seen that most of the year, and that's what scares me about them. So they're starting to make me more and more of a believer, especially if they can continue to be physical with Jokic. I don't know if the refs are going to lean in that direction. I think they're going to be much more aware of how much physicality they're giving to Jokic when you get to Denver in Game 3, but I'm leaning towards the Thunder. But this is still a wide-open playoff chase. These first two rounds have been awesome.
How surprised are you that the Celtics are down 0-2?
I think it's easy to do causation and correlation, and I could easily just say, well, you know, the Celtics feel like they can turn it on when they need to or when they want to, and they're obviously a good enough team to say that they've done that throughout the season. They were on cruise control at times this year, knowing that they want to save it for the postseason. The Knicks didn't get that memo, and I give the defense a lot of credit. And that's not a typical Tom Thibodeau defense. They did get better as the season went on, but, you know, Tom has always been used to having top five, top 10 defenses, and the Knicks at times were much maligned this year. I know they had injuries at the five position. They had injuries throughout the season, but this defensive unit has played really, really well. And if they win game three, obviously you're looking at a, you know, a series that's now, you know, something that's really never been done, come back from down 3-0. If you can stymie Tatum and Brown the way they have, we'll see what Porzingis' health is because he helps spread the floor. I want to say, like, yeah, the Celtics have a tendency to do this, but you can't do it now. You can't do this come playoff time, and the Knicks have come up with the bigger defensive possessions in this series so far. I've been really impressed.
I feel like being at the Garden tomorrow would be, like, a thing.
Dude. Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
I have such
Celtics,
envy.
Celtics-Knicks.
Oh, but Adam.
Celtics-Knicks at the Garden. Playoff game on a weekend, which gives like this great feeling of nostalgia, whether you're in Boston or New York, watching on NBC on those Saturdays and Sundays, and Marv and, you know, whoever. Matt Gukas is here, and Bill Walton. Like just having that group calling those games with the Oregon at Madison Square Garden playing in the background, I think that's – there's something to that.
It's a big city, you know, great building for hoops with the connected alumni. Tom Thibodeau is the coach, you know, a kid who grew up as the son of a Bulls assistant as the star. And, oh, by the way, Mo Cheeks is an assistant there. It can't be that far away. It shouldn't be this hard.
There's so many branches that we could latch onto, right? And it's like, God, how far away are the Bulls. You know, they need a lot of luck and a lot of correct moves to into the conversation.
But the Pope,
these guys.
The Pope.
But the Pope.
But the
all right?
Pope.
Let's send the right messages to the right people. There's a great service that sends deep dish and Italian beef and like Eli's cheesecake all over the globe.
God.
So let's just start sending as much Jardinera to Vatican City as we possibly can.
Get Cooper Flagg on the Bulls. This is what divine intervention looks like.
The first edict is the Chicago Bulls will have won the lottery no matter what the results have been.
This is how Justin from Tinley Park thinks of the Catholic of his Catholic faith right now. He goes, this is what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting to go to Mass on Thursday nights for a while. Yep. I found my excuse to go to midnight Mass now.
It is time.
Adam, as always, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us. Have fun with the game tomorrow.
Love you guys. Appreciate you.
That's Adam Amin from Chicago Sports Network from Fox. He'll be calling the game tomorrow on Fox, doing baseball, and then he'll get ready to do football. And when he's not doing that, he's DJing at clubs, and he's excellent at it.
It's quite a life that man has built. It really is. Top of the hour at 5 o'clock. Chris Emma's going to join us and give us a Bears hit. How many words?
Two words.
Okay, good. Thank God. So Chris Emma will join us and let you hear all the sound you need to hear from Bears practice today. But we got real good Cubs experts with major league debut experience on the station today talking about Cade Horton.
Yeah, I think it's important to help you kind of figure out what your expectations are. Some really good conversations all the way around about what to look for, what's important, and how you feel when you get that opportunity the first time. We'll walk you through it next here on The Score.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Spiegel and Holmes.
We're going to do that show this year, yes. The Spiegel guy.
Spiegel guy.
Lawrence, don't call me Larry.
Afternoons on the Score.
I think he's continuing to get better from start to start, and he's been, you know, consistently good down there. He's, you know, sort of built off a good spring training, but his last couple starts were better than the first couple starts down there. He's been going six innings and throwing well, so you know, he's done his part in AAA, certainly throwing the ball well.
Jed Hoyer talking about Cade Horton. Cade Horton expected to make his debut tomorrow against the Mets.
It may be, Lawrence. It may be a start.
Might be an opener gig.
It might be an opener gig by somebody else. It might have Chris Flexen open or Drew Pomeranz open or something like that, depending on if they want to flip Lindor around. Somebody to get through the first time of the order. Lefty Pomeranz to get through Soto, and then here comes Horton after that.
I wonder, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but I wonder what he would prefer. Like, what Horton would prefer.
Probably a nice, clean start.
I would imagine he wants to go through his whole routine.
Sure.
Like, feel that. Like, be given the opportunity to go out there and make your first start.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Let's hear what our guy Ron Coomer had to say with Mully and Haw about this exact issue. Should Horton come out of the pen, or should he just go ahead and start?
I believe there are two ways of looking at that. If you're... I understand where they say, you know, one less time going through the top three guys, especially in today's game where, you know, your 1, 2, and 3 are your top hitters.
Yep.
As opposed to 3 and 4, you know, years ago, you know, with your cleanup guy. We just had this scenario play out against the Cubs again with Milwaukee. We were in Milwaukee. Priest was supposed to start. He did not start. I believe they started a left-hander in Alexander, and he did not get – he got one out in the first 8 hitters, and then Priest entered the game with one out in the first, and then he couldn't get any outs. And he was all out of whack because of that very scenario, Mike. He did not get his normal, you know, pregame warm-up and all of that, and then all of a sudden he's up and trying to warm up in the pen while the game's going on and the Cubs bombed Milwaukee that day. So I've seen it work both ways. I would think a pitcher would want to just warm up, do what he normally does as a starter, and start the game.
Quinn Priester, that Milwaukee pitcher, got absolutely lit up. It's the Friday night Apple TV game that the Cubs won, what, 10-0 against the Brewers? So, yeah, that is some good recent experience. And I agree with Coom and what you had intimated, Lawrence. I mean, so much of it is about routine. Let the kid stay on his routine as best you can.
Right. Like, part of your decision-making about this was the idea that he wouldn't have to break routine other than traveling to New York. He wouldn't have to break routine. He's not off when it comes to his rest, all of that stuff. So why not just allow him to go ahead and do his thing? I'm very much looking forward to this. Like, I want to see if there's a lot there. I want to see how he handles this. And as we were talking about with Adam Amin, these games, I think, are cool for us. and it's two of the best teams in the National League, maybe two of the best teams in baseball overall. See what the Cubs look like against one of those teams and see what the Mets look like against the Cubs. But we don't have to draw any major conclusions from any of that.
No, not necessarily. And we don't have to draw major conclusions from what we see from Cade Horton right away. But it's interesting because Horton, he throws a fastball that averages around 96. He's got a real good slider. And then a couple other pitches that he doesn't throw very much. He's like 85% fastball slider. He's 85% a two-pitch guy. So sort of like,
usually they say when you get here, you better have a third pitch developed.
Supposedly he does. That changeup is good, and maybe he'll throw it more. But for starters, it'll be interesting to see if he's just that two-pitch guy, you know, what that can be. But thought this was interesting. Ryan Dempster with the Midday Show today.
He's great.
Talking about like how we view prospects and what we should expect Cade Horton to be.
I think sometimes over my course of my career here, both as a player, now as somebody who's been a part of the organization, somebody who's been in the media, I think sometimes we need to slow up a little bit, you know? Like, let's just, like, not every guy who's down in the minor leagues and is doing well is the second coming of Jesus. They all can't be the Pope. You know what I mean? Like, we just need to just chill a little bit. Like, this kid's still got growth to happen. I mean, we're seeing it with Ben Brown. He can be awesome, and he can strike a lot of guys out, but it's hard. The big leagues are hard, and when you play in big markets, you're not afforded the ability to fail a lot like other places. Like, I came up with the Marlins. I sucked. I pitched 5 days later. I sucked again. I pitched 5 days later. They're like, go get them, kid. Learn. And I was able to develop and eventually be somebody who could pitch in the major leagues. When your expectations are you're going to come up and dominate, well, like, the guys are getting out in AA and AAA are not as good as the guys that are in the big leagues. The scouting is not as fast. The adjustments aren't as fast. The execution of, you don't get away with mistakes as much as you do. So there's a lot of these things. I think he's got tremendous stuff. I think he's got great makeup, and I think that he's going to be a very good big league pitcher one day. I just sometimes I when we freak out and we're like, hey, call him up. Look what happened with Matt Shaw. Got to have Matt Shaw in the big leagues. Got to come to the big leagues. Guess what? It's hard to hit in the big leagues, and like, he's going to be fine. The same thing with Cade Horton. I hope he comes up and dominates. Very few Justin Verlanders out there. Very few guys who show up in the big leagues and dominate on their way to 250 or 300 wins with 3,000 strikeouts. It just doesn't happen a lot. So let's let him learn. And it might take a few bumps and bruises along the way, but this kid's got great stuff and great makeup.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Because, like, I saw the comp just in terms of his stuff plus. You know, from Eno Saris, like in terms of the quality of the pitch stuff, Nick Pivetta, Brandon Pfaadt. Okay. Brandon Pfaadt of the Diamondbacks has an ERA of like 3.2, having a very, very nice year. Nick Pivetta is a great story breaking out a little bit with the Padres, but neither of those guys are Yamamoto. They're not
Paul Skeens.
They're not Paul Skeens, but they're damn good big league pitchers, which would be awesome for the Cubs to add in. It's not Verlander in his prime, but, you know, could be a damn good two.
I mean,
in MLB.
If we're being honest, and there's still a lot of season left, the Cubs kind of need someone right now
100%.
To step into that void. And maybe they get Shota back right at the 15 days. Like, maybe he's fine, and it was just a little tweak, and he's going to be okay. But even with that, you have to remember that Justin Steele is not available for the rest of the year.
And Jordan Assad's on the 60-day. Javier Assad is on the 60-day injured list.
Yeah. They need, like, not just innings. You need quality innings from somebody. And it's there will probably be people out there that the Cubs can, like, bid on and go get in a trade, but if it's your own guy and he happens to be good and he helps you, and he doesn't have to be Skeens of last year. Like, he doesn't have to go out there and just dominate. If he does, that would be awesome. But even if he's just good, it would be so beneficial to where the Cubs are at right now.
Massively beneficial. I didn't hear this, and I love Ron Coomer.
Me too.
This is a great story, apparently, about Ron Coomer's MLB debut he gave to Mullion Hall this morning.
I remember, you know, Tom Kelly pointing at me, and it didn't even say anything. He just pointed at me. We were in Cleveland at Jacobs Field, and he pointed and, like, you're in. And I went out to the on-deck circle to pinch hit, and when I walked into the batter's box, for my first big league at bat, I put my back foot in. You dig in and put my back foot in, and my knee started shaking. I had to call timeout. I'm like, damn, you can't hit this. And I had never felt that before in my life. Well, that's adrenaline that you can't prepare for ever. You just can't prepare for that. And there's nothing you can do once it's there. You got to hope that you can control it. And once the at-bat started, I can control it a little bit. But, you know, you try to get through it. His first inning, if he can get through the first inning and throw some strikes and get through it and move forward, then it's a baseball game. You know, that first inning is a rough one, boy. And that the adrenaline rush is, it's so cool that your body can do that because of stress and anxiety and understanding the butterflies, however you want to describe it. But I was just like, oh, my gosh, this, what is this? It's just crazy. But it's fun. It's really a cool thing to experience, that's for sure.
Man, is that awesome.
Whenever someone does something new, the body does have a way of letting us know how important it is to us or letting us know how important it is for us to do well in those moments. And I really appreciate Coombs sharing that story because I think it's so relatable.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to be a Major League Baseball player to understand what he's talking about in that moment.
It's going
to
be me on anthem night.
You know, it's not. You're prepared. Yeah, you're ready.
I know.
You're going to do the thing.
But I look forward to that feeling. Like, you look forward to having that little bit of nervousness. And maybe I'll back away for a second and breathe deep like Ron Coomer did.
You should.
Yeah, right? Ryan Dempster's first start ever, an inning and a third, 5 runs all earned. Second start, 4 2/3, 4 runs earned. And like you said, yeah, the Marlins are like, nah, keep going, kid. Next start, 7 innings, 3 runs, just 1 earned. Then 6 innings, 2 runs, 2 earned.
You figure some stuff out.
Yeah.
You figure out who you can get out, how you can get them out, and we'll see kind of where things stand because this is a lineup that can be problematic, especially at the top. What's going on?
Just trying to read Alex Kuhn's body language. His head is near the microphone. You know how, like, you learn to read your producer's body language? Like, is he wanting to say something or is he just listening attentively? I can't figure it out.
Would you like to say something, Alex?
That's a good question.
No. If I'm being honest, can I tell you what the body language is about?
Yes,
I don't
please.
Mean to throw Tanny under the bus.
You really? Oh, okay.
I think he burped a little bit.
Tanny burped?
Yeah, I got got a whiff of it, so I just
clenched
a little bit. Yeah,
wow.
My
didn't
bad.
Didn't even realize it. Sorry about that.
I'm so. This is amazing. Yeah, you flinched. Didn't you flinch?
It took you out of.
It really
my
did.
Flinch took you out of your rhythm.
Well, we're very empathetic. Lawrence and I have worked with, you know.
We try to be.
Yeah, we'd like try to really connect with our producers. And I saw you flinch. Yeah. Something was up.
Well, you got to get used to it. If you want to hang in this business, there's a lot more flatulence to come on this side of the glass.
That's true. Damn right. You better get used to that.
The Boyquarium, as it used to be called, is a place where that is a thing.
See all those guys swimming around over there? Do not feed the boys in the Boyquarium.
Yep.
Or else you get burped at.
Yeah.
It rattles you.
It can happen. By the way, we are cut short today because the Cubs are playing the Mets. So pregame is going to start at 6:05, right? 6:05, Zach Zaidman will have the pregame show, and I'm sure Zach is looking forward to this series.
Even earlier than that, right? I think it's 5:35.
I'm sorry. 6:05 first pitch.
Yeah.
5:35 pregame.
Game on.
Thanks for checking me on that.
Yeah, no, you're good, man.
That would be why we're ending early.
Yeah, I got a 6:30 showtime for date night at the movies.
What are you going to go see?
Sinners. It's time, baby.
Oh, we got to talk about it.
I will. I cannot wait.
Stay.
Oh, yeah, it's right. You told me there's a couple things in the credits.
There's
right?
a middle credit scene that a lot of people are. The middle credit scene is. I would be shocked if you aren't howling at the middle credit scene.
Okay.
Just knowing you a little bit and knowing that scene. And then there's one after it is worth discussing.
No spoilers, but would you say that Robert Downey might win the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor?
He might.
Okay.
He might.
No spoilers, though.
He might. Right. He was really good. Have you seen Oppenheimer yet?
Hey, be quiet.
Did you actually even go watch it after it was spoiled for you?
Yeah. No, that's when I knew it was spoiled. So as I was watching it, I got angry. I got physically angry at Danny Parkins. which happened again today, because that's what happens when we see that
saw
guy. Exactly right. It's not his fault. He just, that's what happens when people see him. That's how it works.
He's looking pretty sharp.
The hair was a little further down today than usual.
A texter said it. He clearly went to the barber and said, give me the Craig counsel, you know, and just give me the counsel. Because that's what the hair looks like, I think. But yeah, he looks good, man.
I gotta see Thunderbolts. I gotta see Sinners again. And the new Mission Impossible movie is, what, 2 weeks away? Folks, I'm not really a Mission Impossible stan. But that first one, if you haven't seen it, it's an excellent action movie.
Cruise is still the man.
He really
is. He cares about movies.
He really does.
And giving you value. Amen. And he's still going for it with his stunts and everything.
Well, Florence Pugh, who's one of the stars
also in Oppenheimer.
Thunderbolts and Oppenheimer.
And she's
in phenomenal everything.
In prominent in Oppenheimer.
Yes. Yes, she is. So she was saying that I forget which movie she did with Tom Cruise. And it may have been this one. I don't even know. But she said that he inspired her to do her own stunts in Thunderbolts.
That's awesome.
And I think she jumped off like a 140 story building in Thunderbolts.
Don't you think we all have our own moments of throwing our hands up and going, you know what? Tom Cruise is still that dude. Like for me, it was the Top Gun sequel.
Yeah.
Like I saw that. And I'm like, come on, man. Like that was way better than it had to be.
But that's what I'm saying about Mission Impossible. I think they came out the same year, or maybe one was at the end of 1 year and one was at the beginning of the
year. I don't know.
He's really, really good in that. And the topic is good too. And Jermaine. It is all about AI.
I thought he was going to be a good pro. Joe Jermaine.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Good old number 8 from Ohio State?
I don't know.
I think that's right. It doesn't matter.
Jermaine, stop teasing.
That's a callback.
Yeah, it is.
Get back, Jermaine! Get back!
He has
his broken everything!
Tanny, everybody's talking to the Pope now. I'm seeing Don Paul quotes everywhere. You were first, okay? You thought of the Pope before everybody else thought of the Pope.
Did a baseball writer tweet that I was first? Tanny on it first.
They should. They should give you credit
they
for
really,
it.
They really, really should.
What are we doing next?
I don't. Very little, because it's.
Oh no, no speaks. Not very little. What? Something very enormous that we have to acknowledge.
Is it really?
Yeah, according to the doc. Anyway,
oh, it's award season.
Yeah, but it is award season. Award season never ends around these parts. We'll tell you why next on 670 The Score.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Cubs base, Spiegel and Holmes.
All right, well, we navigated that pretty well. I was worried. But I'm always worried.
So. That's your thing.
Yeah, that's my bit.
Afternoons on the Score.
I run the city of Chicago. I mean, that's my responsibility. The people of Chicago voted for me to run the city. And what the city has made very clear is that public use and public benefit to transform the lakefront, that has always been my goal.
How will you know that you are doing the will of the people?
I made a vow and a commitment to make sure that if there is any new stadium being built in the city of Chicago, it has to have a public benefit and public use.
But what if you hear from the people that the people don't want it? Look, what if, I'm serious.
Yeah.
What then becomes the position of the city?
People will have to decide if they want the type of economic development that this project brings.
So that is the mayor, Brandon Johnson, as part of an interview that Lawrence Holmes did on NBC Sports Chicago. And then that interview was rerun here on 670 The Score. And the usage of that interview, as edited by Chris Tannehill and presented by Lawrence Holmes, has won a Peter Lisagor Award, which is an award given to exemplary journalism in Chicago. Congratulations, Lawrence Holmes. That event is tonight. Lawrence will be there to receive the award. I wish I could be there to support you. That's very, very cool.
It's a great event. I wish Tanny could go, honestly, because out of all the people here that deserve awards and don't get them, he is at the top of the list. And I'm excited because I won a Lisagor a couple years ago, and to be able to win one, that was more for opinion, and this is more for how strong of an interview it was and how probative it was. It's honestly, like, to tell the truth, is one of the things that I'm most proud of in my career is that interview of Brandon Johnson.
It was really, really good because he thought... I could tell he kind of thought he was getting, oh, this is sports, man. I got this. I got this under control. And you spoke for a lot of people in terms of, like, are you trying to run a game here on the stadium thing? Like, people don't want this. Where are you coming from on this?
Yeah, I one of the things that I tell my students over at DePaul is I always will throw out, what's the difference between a political journalist and a sports journalist? And the answer is nothing. And I want them to feel that way. I want them to feel like they're allowed to be in those rooms with the movers and shakers, with politicians. And I think politicians will often try to drift into the space of sports because they think that they can get away with stuff inside of it. And there are a lot of good journalists here in the sports world. So it's very meaningful to get this award for that interview.
Good
very.
Stuff. Good stuff. Thrilled that you're getting it. Congrats. Enjoy it. Tonight, and please report back.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's a really good event because a lot of cool people there, and you get to see like what folks are really doing on the front lines of good journalism, and that's what the Lisagor was all about, and that's what the awards are about. It's also media people and an open bar, so that can always be fun too.
Well, that's what I mean by report back.
You know, yeah, good thing there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you're going to get the award. It's going to be nice, and there'll be words and yada yada. Just tell us who was lit and sharing tales that they should not be. Okay.
Well, we'll see if it's off the record.
Yeah, not if Sharon Tales is there.
She's a problem.
Congratulations to Sharon Tales.
for all of her hard work. She's
a terrific journalist.
When we come back,
little Chris slipped, really.
Chris Emma is going to join us to give us a report from Hallis Hall since rookie minicamp is going on. He's got stuff that you haven't heard yet. It's next on The Score.